always humbling to have someone speak about you because not worthy. Not worthy of those words. And if it had been anyone else that asked me to do this, I would have said no. The Lord had to call me to do this. I wouldn't have volunteered to do this. It's not in my bones to stand before a group of people, let alone my brothers and sisters, and try and share the thoughts that are on my mind. Pardon me. All right, here we go. It's been a year, hasn't it? It's been quite a year. Yeah. So I hope that my message today is something that'll bring thought to you, and it's something that you can share with others to bring thought to their hearts too. I'm going to start out today in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at the first verse. This is Paul to the Corinthians, to Corinth. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant without information. We know Paul. We know his writings. He was full of information, and he was not one to hold back, was he? How that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. Obviously, he's talking about the Israelites, and as they left Egypt, you know, he's talking to them. He's reminding them of what they went through. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. You know, I read that and I thought to myself, that seems odd. But it's true. How many of those Israelites were baptized into Moses at that moment when he leads them from Egypt, when he stands before or on the edge of that sea and it was parted? How many of them looked at him as the one that did that? That's the way I read that statement this morning, that they were baptized into Moses. And I see that happening. They're human. And what they saw, I couldn't tell you that I myself, if I saw that very thing, wouldn't have looked at Moses differently. Wouldn't have glorified Moses in that moment. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. They were ignorant to the fact that this was God, that this was Christ that was delivering them out of Egypt at that moment. But can I ask you, have you not eaten of that same spiritual meat? Have you not eaten of or drank of that same spiritual drink? Do we not all sit here in these congregations and believe in the same thing? Jesus Christ is our Savior today and forever. Now, as always, I ask that you bear with me because I typically have a beginning and an end, but the middle is always a little shaky for me. So, we're going to spend some time in Psalms today. Starting in Psalms 18. First verse, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. And my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler. He brings us together. He binds us. And the horn of my salvation and my high tower, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrow of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Let's jump down to the 13th verse. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundation of the world were discovered at thy rebuke. O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. You know, how often do you cry out to the Lord? Is it daily because you're in trouble daily, or is it daily because it's a routine or a habit? Is it the same prayer each and every day? And honestly, are you praying earnestly? Let's jump down to the 27th verse. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. He shuts down the pride in people. He can take it from in front of you. He can take it from you. He can remove it away from you, from those who face you with a prideful heart. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under under me those that rose up against me." You know, I read these scriptures and I'm thankful for whoever picked the songs today. We hear a cry, we hear praise, we hear edification. I hear testimony of God's power in these words. But I also hear confidence and surety. God gave him strength that his feet didn't slip. I mean, that statement alone. How often are you hurrying somewhere and you stumble or you slip? And, you know, this is someone who knew a lot of war and needed that strength, that physical strength. But more than that, he had this spiritual strength. He had confidence in a God. We know David. David started as a young man. He destroyed a giant. But here he is older as an adult. And his confidence, his praise of that heavenly Father, his surety that he will be held up, that he will be held. That buckler, I think of that when he says he's my buckler. You think about a buckle as a belt. What's a belt do? It holds up your pants. It's bringing it together. It's wrapping it up. That's what God does. That's what David's confidence is. He's saying, he's got me wrapped up. He's got me packaged up. Psalms 27. "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." He has no doubt. He questions nothing. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." He'll put me in a solid place. And we all know that rock is Christ, right? Our God, our Heavenly Father, will set us upon that rock if we trust in him, if we have confidence in what he will do for us. "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies. Round about me, therefore, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me." Such confidence and such joy in the opportunity to call on his heavenly Father. "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witness are arisen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Such confidence, but with that also comes a time when in our lives when we may feel as if the Lord isn't speaking to us. I do that. I honestly question sometimes, what have I done? Why is my Father not speaking to me? And then I step back and I look. I look at my life and how blessed it is and how glorious it is. And it's me, once again, that has stepped back from my God. It's me that has stopped praising him and thanking him appropriately. It's me that has failed to have patience. Chapter 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. What a blessing. What a blessing that is when you ask and you repent and you receive. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed is the man that has a pure heart. How many of us here can say that they have a pure heart? Not one, I'm afraid. And I stand before you. I suffer anger. I suffer jealousy, lusts, wants, greed. We just had Thanksgiving. How many of you overindulged at Thanksgiving? Overindulgence, yes. That's the theme of Thanksgiving, though, isn't it? I had a buddy at work sent me a, I don't know how to pronounce this, a GIF, a G-I-F. See how technical I am. It said, gobble till you wobble. It was funny. It was cute. But that's exactly what Thanksgiving is. It's a holiday to overindulge. It's permission to overindulge. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. I was groaning, I was in pain, I was sorrowful because I was silent. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Guilt. Guilt. Do you ever feel guilty? Sure. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. You come forward. Admit you're wrong. Swallow your pride. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which has no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Repent, be remorseful when you err, when you fall down. Plead to God for his mercy. Does it say that he won't give to us his mercy? It does instruct us that unless we repent, unless we're remorseful, unless we come before him confessing our sins, he'll turn us away. He won't pay us any mind. Most of the time for me, when I find myself again looking or wondering, questioning why or how come it seems like God's not talking to me, how come things just don't seem right, because I've become too comfortable, I find myself just taking the Lord for granted. And those are the times when what creeps in? Doubt, guilt. Those times when I become uncomfortable. And then I have to remind myself or reflect back what I need to do and get back on track. Let's go back one chapter to Psalms 31. First verse. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Thou art my strong rock, for in house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore thy name's sake lead me, guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. 19th verse. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shewed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentiful, rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. The goodness in my life is incredible. And when I read these words, I think about, one, where would I be if I hadn't learned who Jesus Christ was? Where would I be if I had continued on the path I was on? And I don't even want to imagine those things. That was a disgusting path. but to think about how good my life is. I have no one to thank for that but my Heavenly Father, my Creator, my God, my Savior. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Do you have hope? Do you have a true, earnest hope in your heart that there is a God? That He wants you to be with Him. That He gave His Son the blood and flesh for your salvation, so one day you could stand before Him, stand in His presence, and glory in His infinite power and love. I do. That's part of my prayer every day, that the hope I have in my heart will allow me one day to stand before Him and glory in that light and that presence. Chapter 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. Our enemies are going to be subject to God's wrath. A bowing wall, is that something that's strong? It's leaning. A tottering fence. It can't stand without wavering in the wind. God will crush these things. He will take them out. The only consult to cast him down from his excellency. Excuse me, let me start that over. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul wait, though, only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. They're useless. Trust in oppression. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. You know, how often do we see God's mercy being poured out upon those and we judge they're not worthy of that mercy? But that's not what He sees. He sees what's in their heart. How merciful is our God, because He knows each and every one of us inside and out. But the point here is, David has a strong core belief that that if he does what's right, God will continue to be merciful upon him. God will continue to wrap him up. God will continue to keep him on that planned path he has for him. And he knows with confidence that those who do not have that heart to serve God, glorify God, serve their fellow man, will be judged of God. Ninety-fifth chapter. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great God, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, the strength of the hills of his. Is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Where's your wilderness? Where's that world of temptation for you? It's right outside. Right out there. It's right here. Right here on the phone, on the tablet, on the computer. It's everywhere around you. When I come to church, it is such a relief. I leave my phone in the truck. I come in here with one purpose in mind: to be with my God, to be with my brothers and sisters, to escape, to hide, as David has so elegantly put it. I've come to hide in my God, escape from the wilderness, the wild, the temptations. Harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. If we succumb to the world, if we succumb to the freedoms that the wilderness, that the world desires us to have, God's put it plainly: you will not enter in to his rest. You will not have peace. And I imagine that to be not only here on earth, but in heaven, in hell, in eternity. Psalms 104. I am going to read. I'm going to read this whole chapter. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who covers thyself with light as with a garment? who stretcheth out the heaven like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Our God can take all of these things, and he's a part of them. Who maketh his angel spirits, his ministers, a flaming fire, who laid the foundation of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At the rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hastened away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they may turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild ass quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitations, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He's provided all of these creations that work together. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted. Where the birds make their nests, as for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth. They gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work, and to his labor unto the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works, how enormous, how many, how great, how giant. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his work. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. Let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. God created everything. God brings everything together. There's a purpose, there's a way. Everything relies on our Heavenly Father to exist, to be fed, to be clothed. Over the past year, which is coming to an end, thankfully, 2020, no more. Right? Is that not how everybody feels? I hear that, yeah. Ready to move on. You are. I am. Throughout this year, how many times have you all felt stressed or lost or panicked or worried? I get it. There are things that happen that are going to affect us. They are, every one of us. So in the beginning, I work in the medical field, and honestly, it wasn't until probably mid-February before I really realized something was going on, right? And then all of a sudden the news breaks and, you know, there's a shortage of toilet paper. How many of you immediately ran to your closet, your pantry, wherever you keep your paper products, and started counting? Or how many of you ran out and jumped in the car and ran to the store because, oh my gosh, that can't be happening here? You were panicked, you were freaked out, you were acting irrational, right? How many of you saw and worried about food prices going up? Obviously, we're all worried that we're going to get this virus and have to suffer through that, and I hope that if you have had it, I thank the Lord that you're here with us today, and you're blessed that you've gotten through it. But I hope that we can each stay away from that. I hope that we're each blessed that we don't have to suffer through that. But I'm sure there are some amongst us, our congregation, our scattered members that have worried and suffered immensely about maybe losing their job. They were furloughed. They were laid off. That's a big worry, because that's taking away your income. That's taking away the way the avenue to feed your family, to pay your mortgage or your rent or your car payment that gets you to that job. How often this year did you praise the Lord? How often did you get so upset that you felt sick? I'm going to stand here and tell you that, honestly, I have had so much confidence this year. And I praise God, because it all started that I went to Costco and to the store, and 3 days later I hear there's no toilet paper on the shelves, and I just was like, what? I just came from the store. I just bought supplies. I was blessed because I was actually able to share with someone my bounty, my extra. God blessed me, and I shared. Throughout the year, I've heard all kinds of stories, terrible stories. I have to stand before you and tell you that I've been blessed all year. I've had the opportunity to share things and to actually be more involved. And it's wonderful. It's fabulous. But how many times do we go about our day worried about the next thing that's going on? And when I, the reason I read so much out of Psalms today was because of David's confidence. How confident are you in your spiritual walk? How confident are you in that spiritual meat or that spiritual drink that you've partaken of, that you have to partake of every day, every moment of your life? How confident are you in that? The scriptures describe everything to us that we need to know, the confidence that we need to have. I had a small testimony this morning because Libby got in the truck with me and she was telling me about a conversation she had with a girlfriend at school. She said, "Dad, I don't go to school. Everybody at school isn't a freak and isn't crazy." She had a meaningful conversation with a friend this morning, and her friend told her, or last night, her friend told her, "You know, I can't always be here. I'm busy. I'm human. But take it to the Lord." I was like, a high school student that says, take it to the Lord. They have confidence in what the Lord will do for them. Take it to the Lord. I have confidence in my God, in my Heavenly Father. I lack confidence in myself. I do. I'm weak. But you know what? I think this will sum things up. And I hope that you take that to heart. And I hope that you remember that 2020 is just a number. It was just a year. The elections are over. There's so much that goes on in the world that you could almost say that those are the fiery darts that our adversary has for us, because they're constantly picking at us. They're constantly just trying to knock us down. But you have to have confidence in the Lord. You have to believe. Because he's made a promise. He's made a commitment to you. He has buckled you. You entered into a covenant of baptism and repentance with him. He is there for you. Be confident. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." There is no temptation in this world that is not there because of man. It is not God that tempts you. "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Where's your confidence lay? Is it in God? Is it in his strength, his infinite power, his ability to take and form whatever he desires? It is simply my hope that I've shared what was on my mind, and it might help you to think more about your relationship with our Heavenly Father. Thank you.